Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back. BetQL Daily right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth with you on a Monday after the Super Bowl is set, of course, presented by BetMGM. But it wasn't the only thing going on this weekend. It wasn't just the NFL. We had a big college hoops weekend. Also had a gigantic NBA MVP battle, potential MVP battle, in Philadelphia on Saturday afternoon. So we'll get to that. We can start college hoops, though, as it was the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and Big 12 goes 7-3 in the 10 games, 5-5 ATS, but 7-3 straight up. We heard the call there by Dan Shulman. I mean, Kansas goes into Kentucky and wins. Oklahoma wins outright as a 6.5-point dog against Bama. That was a little bit surprising, just considering how good Bama's been this year. Tennessee, big favorite. They win. They cover all the numbers. So it was interesting. Paul's West Virginia team wins, so there's life there for West Virginia. But the Big 12, I don't think any of us are surprised. They beat the SEC this weekend.
Ranked teams going, yeah, I know. A lot of ranked teams going down over the weekend. You mentioned Bama there. But also in that 10 to 15 range, almost all of them lost. Texas went against Tennessee, so that's a little bit different, much tougher challenge. But TCU, 11, Iowa State, 12, Xavier, 13, Auburn, 15, all of them end up losing. So, I mean, it's what we constantly talk about. And a lot of times in that situation, you assume that would be an upset. No, not all the time. And we go over how valuable home court is in that, and that explains some of it. But yeah, a lot of those teams in the 10 to 15 range all seem to go down over the weekend, so that certainly stood out.
Yeah, and I thought just the Big 12, we've been talking about it. I think you're muted, Aaron. There you go, go ahead.
Sorry, after Saturday, the old mute button gets me on a Monday. I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if you had just taken the underdogs against these ranked teams, you know, where you would be ATS. I don't know if that would have been a thing, but it just seems like there is so much parity this year.
Well, we've been saying that for a few weeks now, right? It just doesn't feel like there's a great team in college basketball. Purdue might be the closest thing, and I don't think any of us trust Purdue. Yeah, I just don't trust that team. So it's open. But I think the Big 12 keeps standing out to us, right? We've brought that up multiple times the last couple of weeks. And I'm not surprised they won 7 of these 10 games at all. Like, it's the best conference in the country right now.
No, that's what's going to be so fascinating. Is that the way it's going to play out once we get to the tournament? Where Big 12, or are they just beating each other up all season long, and then they're just going to be spent after months and months of games? You know, what sort of mismatches are we going to see? Because, you know, those rosters are also built for the Big 12. They do that with a purpose.
Right.
But then once you branch out against different styles, is it going to be as successful? That's going to be one of the more fascinating things to watch as we get closer and closer to March. And a couple of good Big 12 matchups tonight as well. Also over the weekend, though, Joe G, your neck of the woods, Embiid v. Jokic. I think we quickly mentioned this on Friday, that maybe a small sample size of one, but maybe this this matchup would have something to do with the MVP race. I was not expecting the move that we saw. So Embiid gets the best of Jokic, 47-18 in a win. Jokic close to triple-double like usual, 24-8-9, but Embiid with the better performance and the victory. And Jokic goes from, like, was it going too far, you know, with so much season left? Jokic minus 160 at one book to the reaction to that one game. He's not minus money anymore at some spots. I see him as high as plus 115. So Jokic, still the favorite, but now he's plus money. And from what I could tell, it was all based on that game against Sixers.
Total overreaction. I mean, Embiid outplayed him. Embiid outplayed him, right? He was the better player on Saturday. He was incredible. But isn't this an overreaction for the market? Joel Embiid is the second favorite now, and it's close. It's like the Sixers have a tough schedule down the stretch. They play again in Denver in March. Who do we think gets the best that night? Don't just logic tell us that's probably a Jokic night in Denver? If you believe in Jokic's season, you're getting plus money now for the MVP, which I don't know if that was, you know, when that was coming back. So it's kind of interesting. You could jump on Jokic now and feel pretty good about it.
I don't know. I think I would pass on it, though, at plus 150.
Plus 115. But I'm saying he was just minus 160.
Right.
I know, but I don't think I would be interested in betting it at plus 115.
No, I'm not betting it. I wouldn't bet anybody NBA MVP at about even money. not with months left. But both can be true. It's also an overreaction.
Yes. So where's the value now? I mean, you could say it's a little bit on Jokic compared to where it was last week. The Embiid value just disappeared because he's the second favorite now. I mean, Giannis is still 14-1. He had a 50-point game last night. Giannis is 14-1. His team is 2.5 back in the East.
Yep.
14-1, 12-1. Still double digits. Yep.
I feel like I have this conversation every single year. Giannis is not get the respect. I mean, he does when you talk about him being a great player, but a lot of times when it comes down to the odds, he's always the guy in the MVP's conversation to me that seems to always have the most value. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why that is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If he's playing in Chicago, much further up?
Good question. Because I'm the same guy that says in the NBA that doesn't matter as much as it does in other sports. Because we've seen superstars in small markets, like when KD and Russ were in Oklahoma City, that didn't seem to matter a whole lot. We're talking about Jokic in Denver. That's not one of the big markets. And he could win third straight MVP. But it would help. It would help a little bit. He's likable. I don't understand what people don't like about him. The numbers are there. The record is there. I don't get it.
So here's a question for you guys. In a what could be a close race, if not Jokic, do you think games played are going to matter? Because Tatum and Luka play every game. Giannis has missed some time. Embiid misses time. Is that going to be a tiebreaker?
Ja.
Right. If you're looking
Grizzlies for Grizzlies are struggling right now, by the way.
Woo! If you're looking for who plays, Luka plays and Tatum plays every night.
Yep. It's mattered the last couple of years. And I think the narrative has been that Jokic is pulling away. I still view this as a very close race. Like one of them has a great week or two, then they could become the favorite. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it, but maybe everybody doesn't agree with me on that one, because it seems like over the last, I don't know, few weeks, we've taken the turn like, oh, well, they just might be forced to give it to Jokic because he's been that good. But I still think it's an open race.
Do we think head-to-head matters, or is this just we react in the moment? Like, is anyone going to remember this when they vote for it?
So overreaction by whom? I agree with you that it's an overreaction to do that after sample size of one regular season game. But was it just the books forced to do it because there were so many bets coming in on Embiid? Yeah, so they had to make some sort of an adjustment. And if you're going to shorten Embiid, then you've got to move Jokic because that's not fair. You can't keep him at minus 160 and then shorten Embiid as well.
Speaking of reactions, I'm not sure how many everyone was paying attention. It was football weekend. Do you guys see what happened on I think it was Saturday with the Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Oh, yeah. Jaren
Jackson Jr., mm-hmm. The Reddit thread. Mm-hmm.
The controversy.
Yeah, so like a Reddit thread basically kind of pointed out that Jaren Jackson's stats at home, defensive stats, way crazier than on the road. And then maybe it was home cooking by the score. And then it took all these like NBA writers and people who cover the league to like go back and watch all his blocks to see was it not true. And I think the more I dove into it, it seemed like maybe a couple over the course of the season, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 total blocks were kind of iffy, but nothing to really change his stats. But one book took down the Defensive Player of the Year odds for a couple hours. That's how much reaction this was getting. It's wild.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy. When I first read it, I'm like, oh man, this maybe in Memphis, I could possibly see it. So you mentioned a few, and I would guess that that's the case for everybody. With blocks, rebounds, home games. That at the very least, a few doesn't sound very much to me at all. But that stood out because obviously we were talking about how that race might be over. That right now, BetMGM is the best price you can get on Jaren Jackson. He's minus 154 favorite. But next up is Nick Claxton. Then you're dropping a Bam, Brooke Lopez, Giannis. But wasn't that number higher on Friday on Jackson?
You mean it? So you're saying it came down a little bit from where it was maybe Friday? What are we at now? Minus 200 at BetMGM, somewhere around there?
No, 154, I see.
154, okay. It may have been higher. Seems like
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But, yeah, that was really interesting to see that stuff pop up. So the result is that it's much to do about nothing?
It sounds like it so far, but – If it did show that, you know, the numbers were fraudulent, then what would the books would have to do something for all the people that bet on Jaren Jackson, right?
It'd be a mess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that. It'd be a mess if his stats weren't really
his stats. This feels unprecedented. I was at first like, is this real?
Well, because it's the only stat in basketball, right, that you could fudge. You can't fudge points. Everyone's counting them. Like you blocks and steals are kind of subjective.
Yeah.
Well, right. And then part of the reason that he is such a heavy favorite is the on pace numbers for those stats was like, oh my God, he might be doing something we haven't seen before.
You're right. Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye out. I'm sure everyone will be watching every Jaren Jackson home game from now on and paying attention to this. We'll look forward here. Coaching carousel next year. In pro football, next on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.